Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got two very special guests on my show, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for a treat, so take some notes. Right now, these guys got a hit single killing the airwaves called Deuces. Ladies and gentlemen, that guy Chapo and my boy Wally. What's good, King?
What's good, brother?
Ain't shit. Everything good, man. Finally made it happen. You know, we've been trying to do this interview for like 4 or 5 months, but you know, we made it happen. You know what I'm saying?
We busy. We both busy. It's a good thing.
That's good. That's good, right, man. Congrats on the new situation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you guys excited?
Of course, man. Come on, man.
2020.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The vision is clear. 2020. You know what I'm saying?
That's a big fact. This is what everybody, we all always wanted, you know? Mm. Everybody in the camp, me, Wadi, everybody that is also involved behind the scenes. Because there's always people behind the scenes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody behind the scenes, this is everything we've always been wanting and it's here.
Yeah,
so we just trying to take advantage of it and do it the right way.
Yeah, man, and I'm very, very happy and proud of you guys for this, you know, because it's like, I seen you when you was still, like you said, trying to get it to get to this point, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, well, a lot of people don't understand that every overnight success is a 10 to 20 year process, you know what I'm saying? They need to know that it's really a lot of lifetime commitment in this
right.
shit, you know what I'm saying? You really got to decide what it is you want to do, you know? And I want to talk about those days, you know what I'm saying? Like, when did y'all even know, begin to think like, yo, okay, I want to rap. Like, music is what I want to do to my life. And y'all, cause you want to start?
Yeah,
you
want to start? I'll start first. Mine was quick. I always loved music. I was a fan of music.
Mm.
Never would I thought I would be doing it.
Mm.
And then one time, it was a couple of our friends, we were smoking, listening to beats, and they were just freestyling.
Mm.
And then when it got to me, I was like, I don't know, just freestyle?
Yeah.
And just do it for fun.
Right.
So then I would just rap about what we would do during that day. And they were like, yo, bro, you nice. And I'm like, cut it out.
Yeah.
Cut it out. And the other people that was in the studio already and rappers, we would do the same thing in the car. And they'll be like, yo, you should come to the studio, come to the studio. And then I started doing music with people and I'll send it to my friends. And they were like, I like it. You should do a song by yourself though. I want to hear how you sound by yourself.
Mm.
And then I finally did a song by myself and a lot of people liked it. And then I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna rap.
Mm.
So that's how my story.
That's what's up. And how old were you when this happened?
That was, I would say, 2010 to 2011.
2010. Oh, wow. Okay. So that ain't, you ain't even been rapping that much longer.
Right.
But, you know, you just realized at that point, like, yo, okay, niggas is feeling my shit.
Yeah, fuck,
I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
That's what's up, man. How'd y'all two meet?
Well, that's actually a funny story. Not funny, but it's like, it's actually, because the thing is, we know each other since high school.
Okay.
Right? But in high school, it was like, why is a little older than me? So it's like, in our high school, it was a little weird. It's like, high school and middle school was together.
Okay.
It's normal in New York, not normal everywhere else.
Right.
So it's like, so middle school, high school was together. We in the same building, but the high schoolers was like on the other side.
Mm.
So even though we would see each other from time to time, we didn't really bump into each other a lot.
Mm.
So I knew who Wadi was, he knew who I was, but we didn't have a relationship, you know what I'm saying? Like,
copy.
It was like till after high school and years passed that we bumped into each other again through mutual friends. And that's when we made the connection and then we just came like closer and closer and closer. And then we was like, yo, fuck it. We actually went to DR together on vacation, on some regular vacation shit. Had a dope ass vacation.
Best
and over
vacation
there.
Of my life.
Yeah.
over there, we started talking. We was already doing music separately. Like, he was doing his thing, I was doing my thing, we were doing separate things. And we was there, and then we just kept saying, bad guys, bad guys, bad guys, bad guys. We kept saying that, and we was like, fuck it, we just gonna run with it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yo, you run with it? And Wally was like, yeah, we gonna run with it. And fuck it, we run with it. And then that's how the bad guys stuff started, you know what I mean? And now in Dominican Republic.
Okay, copy that. So when did you fall in love with, like, hip-hop and, and decided that this is a career that you wanted to take on?
See, music with me, it started a long time ago. Like, I was super jit. Like, I was jit, like, young, super young. And it was really watching my uncles. And I'm from the Bronx, so in Marble Hill Projects, where I'm from, my uncles, they had a crew there. And it was him and his friends, and they used to be called 1OD.
Mm.
I'll never forget 1OD. And I used to always watch them. And then my uncle, like, one of the other rappers from the crew, his son was, like, my age. And we was growing up together. And he was also, like, he was rapping since young. And I used to just watch them, and we'll go to the house, we'll be playing the games, and they'll be in the room, we'll be hearing them make the beats. They had like a little studio there, so we would always watch them. It's so funny because when I first started, I didn't know what to do. Like, I was like, how do you start this? How do you write? What do you think to write? Like, what am I supposed to talk about? You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a kid.
I'm probably
9, 10 years old. So I'm like, what am I supposed to talk about? Like, you know what I'm saying? And what I did was, it's funny. He don't even know this. So if you see this interview, he gonna know this now. What I did was, I stole my uncle's rap book. I took it. Well, I'm not gonna. I borrowed his rap.
Borrowed it. Yeah.
I took it home and I started reading it. Yeah. And I just read. He had mad raps. Some of it I didn't even understand at all, but some I would understand. And I just keep reading it until I found the structure. And I was like, okay, I get it now. So he rhymes this with this, and he rhymes that with this, and then okay, I get to make music. Okay, he's talking about this. He's talking about that. So then it just, that's what helped me a little bit with that. And after that, me and the kid, the kid that I grew up with, I was saying, me and him, we started our own rap crew. They had a little rap crew, and then I got into their rap crew, and then little by little, but we was kids, like, we was probably like 11, you know?
Damn,
like,
yeah.
Kids, you know? And then I moved to Florida, and that's when I took it even more serious, because over there, everybody was, like, gassing me up.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you really nice every day in school, like, In the lunchtime, everybody would want me to freestyle. Every single day at lunchtime. There was not a lunchtime that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
So when I came back to New York, I already was feeling myself. You know what I'm saying? But then when I went to New York, I went back to the rappers. So it was like, okay, they gassed you over there, but you're over here, you got to rap.
I want to hear bars, nigga.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how the beginning looked for me, you know. And then after that, it was just music.
Nah, it's funny you mentioned that, man. When I started writing, I started with that Busta Rhymes song, that Woo-ha, I got you all in check. You remember that? Yeah. So to learn the structure, how to write the song, I played the tape, took a piece of paper, and I'm literally writing y'all, like Y-A-Y-A, you know what I'm saying? Like, just to break down the format of how a song was written, and that was like my template, you know, going forward, like how to write the 16, how long the bars on the hook is supposed to be, you know, shit like that. So that's crazy you had a similar story. That's what's up. Okay. So, Now that you guys, you know, got the local scene popping, your homies believe in you, you know what I'm saying? Y'all 2 men in high school, y'all ran with the Bad Boys movement, you know,
bad guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's because I'm going to the Bad Boys premiere today, so it was in my head. So now what was the next steps? You know, like, okay, y'all formed this rap crew. What's the next steps? That y'all did just start battling people? Did just start doing talent shows? Like, what was that grind like?
Well, before we answer that, what do you mean by the next step when I was 11 years old, or after me and Wiley met and did the Bad Guys thing?
After y'all met and did the Bad Guys thing.
Okay, so after that, it was like, I feel like, to be honest with you, I feel like after that, it was more of us developing our craft, like together, you know, like learning new sounds and where exactly we wanted to be, trying to find ourselves. At the time, I was rapping in English. I was a straight up English. I didn't have not one song in Spanish. So it was like, I was still trying to find my sound in the English world and doing things and different sounds. Wiley as well. If you go back to Wiley's first song that he ever dropped, it sounds totally different to the Wiley that he is today. It's like the same thing with me. So it's like, it was more of that, trying to develop and find out who's going to be in the team or who's just going to be around the team. Because I feel like in the team and around the team is different.
Explain that.
So you have your people that's in the team, people you count on, people you trust, people you give information to that you probably wouldn't want to give other people or give responsibilities to that you can't trust other people with. But then you got people around you that are just there for support, moral support, or, you know, we from the streets. So sometimes you need the street people around you for certain situations. It's like people that's around you, but it's not like they you keep them at a distance. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so we were trying to figure out that. Who was gonna be what and who was gonna be in, and is it just gonna be me and Wiley and the Bad Guys rapping? Like, are we gonna put other artists into it? What are we gonna do? It was figuring that out, you know, and that took a little while and developing until I met other artists like Chris Streets, and I started dealing with Chris Streets and Knock Fly with producer. Knock Fly helped me a lot find my sound. Like, because it was like when I first came in, it was like very rap. I mean, I'm from the Bronx, New York, you know what I'm saying? Raised in Marble Hill Projects. I did all the battle raps, the people in the hood, even in my projects. They used to bring, I was a kid, like 13. Actually, if you look at YouTube, you might find it. I can't find it no more, but it should be up there. They have battle videos of me battle rapping, like grown men when I'm 12, 13. So it was like, I was always into the hip hop. But Knock just showed me like a different world, kind of like. He was like, all right, hip hop is cool, hip hop is this, but then this this whole other world that you might be able to get into it if you want to and if you're comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started developing my sound sonically and doing different things that maybe I would have not tried before. Mm-hmm. So he gave me that, like, he gave me that push to be like, yo, do something different. Mm-hmm. Like, try something different. Everybody's rapping. Let's try something different. And yeah, and then that kept going. Then me dealing with them. It's like everything.
Oh, you want to add something to it? Yeah, I was going to say, in the midst of all of that, mm-hmm. we will be making music, mm-hmm. and then there will be, like, little talent shows, mm-hmm. and we would, like, perform the new music to see the reaction, be like, all right, this is good, the crowd reacted, they like this, so let's do something more like this, and we were doing things like that.
So almost like a case study, but with the crowd, you know, you just perform to kind of see what works, what doesn't.
Right.
Okay. So tell me how you developed your sound, you know what I'm saying, like, when you got to that point.
It was, like, the same thing when we met Knock. Uh-huh. He was, well, he met him first. He was like, yo, bro, you got a curse?
Yeah.
He was like, yo, you got to fuck with this kid, bro. He's nice. I was like, all right. And he was already doing music. Every time I'll get a text 5 a.m. It'll be a new song. I'll listen to it. He's like, yo, you got to fuck with him. So we went to Knock, and it was the same thing, just trying different beats and then different sounds and singing and not singing, but, you know.
Yeah, like melodies, harmonizing and melodies and shit.
And stuff like that.
Okay. And then let me ask you, do you guys feel you found your sound? Or are you still
I'm still creating? Perfecting and creating, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable where I'm at right now, like, sonically and what I want to do, because I feel like the reason that I say I'm comfortable is because I'm not scared to try anything. Like, you could put any beat on, and I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do something. So before, it was like, you put something that's different to me, and I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then now it's like, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. Let's create something new. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Maybe we could turn this and turn it into something that doesn't exist.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's one of the things that I feel that me and him was able to do with our song, Thusi. Mm-hmm. That is like, is something that is like, it might sound like something that you might have thought happened before, but it really never happened before. You know, like when you have a complete hip hop beat in the beginning of the song and it's going through and then it switches to another beat and then, if you have to categorize it, I guess you're gonna say dembow. I'm Dominican, so mm-hmm. you'll put it into dembow. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to the dembow songs, there are original songs, the original, the fire dembow. That if you go to DR right now, you hear the dembow that's in the streets. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound the same. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't sound.
So you
the same.
Can't really call it that.
I mean, if you have to, but if you don't have to, then it's like, nah, what is this? You know, and that's a question that we get a lot from a lot of artists, major artists, huge. Some of the biggest artists in the world have been asking us, like, what is this? What do you consider this? What genre of music this is? You know what I mean?
Well, like, why don't you just call it, like, your own name? Like, make something up and then just copyright. And if anybody uses it, then y'all just get paid from it.
I mean, it's early. I feel like maybe are we not qualified for that yet?
You can do whatever the fuck you want. If nobody has it, you can make it up and copyright it. Why not?
There you go. So maybe we want something.
You say, that's what I'm here for, B. You know what I'm saying? I told you, man. That's what I'm here for. Nah, but that's what's up. Okay. Well, no, I mean, and you mentioned, you threw out the word sonically a lot when it comes to your sound. What do you mean by that?
Well, like I said, coming from a rapper, now when you hear my songs, like, with the thing when I'm like, oye, mami, echa pa acá, me dijeron. You know, it's like, it's different. It's not, I'm not rapping no more. So it's like, now I'm trying to come up with different flows, different melodies. Different things that I feel like is catchy and is gonna catch our audience and bring them to say, like, what is this? Like, what is this? This sounds different, or this sounds cool, or this is how I feel, but I'm afraid to say it, because that's another thing that I do in my music a lot. It's like, I say a lot of things that people are thinking, but are afraid to say it for whatever the reason. Either they're insecure, or they think it's not the right thing to say at the right moment, or somebody's around, you know, I'm just saying it. Mm-hmm. So when they hear it, you can see it, people start laughing and people thinking, and they start getting quiet because they're like, shit, I know what he talk about. Like, I feel the same way, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, so, they can relate.
Exactly. So I feel like that's what, when I say sonic, is that just the different melodies and different, not rap, like, not just straight rap. Mm-hmm. Where before, that's what I was really pushing for, just straight rap. I just want to rap, spit bars.
Yeah.
You know?
And that shit don't get you too far. I mean, nah,
dude. Can't tell Kendrick that.
Too. Big fact. That's a big fact. Okay. Now, like, now you two solo artists and just rap together whenever, or are y'all a group?
We're solo artists, but it's like we're in the same crew.
Oh, okay, so you're just crew, but
like ASAP, Rocky, Ferg, But they do their own thing and they get together.
Ah, okay, okay. And how many members are in the total Bad Guy rap
group? Rappers?
Rappers.
Just us two right now.
Just us two? Oh, okay, okay. That's what's up. Damn, I thought it was like a gang of y'all. I mean,
there is a gang of
us. Well, I know that, but I just mean like performers and artists is just y'all too.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Interesting. So what's up with this project, the Deuces project? Like, what's the plan for you? I got the streets buzzing. You know, y'all got a situation with a label from it. So congratulations on that. Like, what's the plan? What's the push? Like, what's the life expectancy of this single? You know what I mean? Let me know what you think.
Well, I feel like it just started.
Okay.
Like, the song been out, but now we're going to get the extra push.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we had the Cardi B situation that put it already on a certain level.
How did you feel when you saw that?
Well, maybe we should say what we saw first.
Tell me that day. What was going on that day?
Which way? So when it first started, the whole Cardi B situation?
Because
she did three different things.
Okay. Okay. When from the first thing.
And the first thing, I was chilling. I was laying down watching TV.
Yeah.
And I have my phone. My phone is on Don't Disturb because
yeah.
I don't like waking up too early. So I had the phone down watching TV.
Yeah.
And when I flipped the phone over, I got 30 missed calls, 25 text messages, and my Instagram's going crazy. And the first thing I thought was somebody passed away that I knew.
Because
I was like, damn, why I'm getting so many meetups? So before I even start reading stuff, I'm trying to put it together. Like, why, none of these people, I don't have mutual friends with them. So it's like, all right, what's going on? Then somebody called me right away. They're like, yo, bro, Cardi B's looking for your song. I'm like, what? He's like, yo, Cardi B's looking for your song. I'm like, where? He's like, she's on Instagram asking for the song. So I go on Instagram, but she takes the video down already because I had the phone down for so long.
Mm.
So then he calls me on the other line. So he was like, yo, bro, I'm going to find the video for you. I was like, all right, find it for me. So I answered the phone. He's like, yo, bro, Cardi B asking for a song. I said, where is it? He's like, I got it right here. I was like, save the video. He's like, I don't know how to save it. How you save it? I said, yo, screen record it. He was like, I don't know how to do that shit. So I was like, nigga, do this. He's like, I don't see it. But I hear it in the background, like, yeah. So then my boy, the one I got on the phone with, he was like, I found the video. He sent it to me. I was like, yo, I got the video. I'm going to send it to you. I'm going to call you back.
Yeah.
So I hear the video. She's like, all my Dominicans, what's this song? I keep hearing all over Washington Heights and Dykeman. I can't find the song. What's the name of the song? Deuce. So I was like, oh shit, that's our song.
Yeah.
So I sent it to him. We posted on Instagram. My whole Instagram is tagging Cardi B in the post. His as well. They both go on our page tagging her. Then 2 days later, she goes on Instagram Live. So my phone been ringing the whole time, like, between those days. So now every time somebody calls me, so now I answer the phone. Somebody's like, yo, go on Cardi B's Live. She's just saying, Deucey. So I was like, all right, hang up. I call him right away. Go on Cardi B's Live right now. Boom, hang up. And I just put on screen recording now just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
So she's talking, having a regular conversation. And then, like, when she pauses, she'll just be like, Deucey, 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 Deucey. And when she asked about the song the first time, she didn't say it with, like, the melody or anything. She was just like, Deucey.
That's when I realized that it was actually that song she was looking for. Because I'm not going to lie, off the first video, even though I was hyped, I was like, man, this night, I don't know. Like, is she really talking about our song?
Yeah, there's plenty of songs called Deuces out there.
Yeah, because of what he just said right now, because that was very important. Like, the first time she did it, she didn't use the melody. Like, she didn't use the right flow.
Mm.
So it's like, she was saying it, but she wasn't saying it right. Mm. So I was like, I don't know. It could be, but it might not be. Like, we never know, you know?
Yeah.
And then when she went on live that she did what he's saying, she was there. It was like right before the Grammys, I think.
Yeah, it was, this is the one when she was shaking her ass to, or she was like talking. Okay, before. I saw both of them.
She was doing her makeup for right before the Grammys.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that's the perfect time. Then when she was doing it there, when she did it with the correct flow and all of that, and she kept doing it and kept doing it. That's when I was like, oh yeah, she's talking about that song.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying? She's talking about our song. There's no other way that it could be any other song.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we know it was like she liked the song because it's like she looked for it herself.
Right.
She did that. Nobody like forced her into it or showed her the song. Like, yo, you should hear this. You're like, hear this song.
Yeah.
It's like, she's like, yo, what the fuck? I hear this song and I want to know, what song is this?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, what song is it? So then that happened. And then the third video was, she was on live again. Now, this was after she won all the awards and she was lit.
Uh-huh.
She was on live again. I guess, I don't know exactly where she was. It looked like she was in the family member's house.
Yeah.
She was just, I guess, celebrating.
She was in the Bronx, yeah.
Yeah, celebrating with her family, you know what I mean? And she was there on live and she's talking her shit, like, on live, whatever. And then, towards the end, because a lot of times, me and Wiley on the live together, we don't even know.
Yeah.
Like, we watching the live together, we don't know. So, at the same time, I'm writing on the live, like, yo,
it's my song, it's me.
Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, Cardi B, like, you know, the shit really legendary. Yeah. Sentence is like, 100 comments,
yeah.
So she ain't gonna
see
it.
She can't really see it.
Yeah, like, and if she did see it, like, I don't know if she's gonna see that or nothing. But then, out of nowhere, she's like, towards, like, after being on live for a long time, she's like, you know what? And I'm writing that 100 times.
Yeah,
and
man.
I'm copying.
Right. So you got to get us. Hell yeah.
Out of nowhere, she's like, I'm going to get off live. And I'm like, I kept telling her, like, play the song.
Because
I'm telling her, like, play the song. She's like, I'm going to get off live. She gets off live. No lie. I'm like in my crib smoking a blunt. My phone started going crazy. I'm like, what the hell? I look. They're like, yo, it's the Wiley called me. I think it was. And he was like, bro, it's like, it's real. And I'm like, wait, what happened? And he's like, go on Cardi's page right now.
Mm.
Go on Cardi's page. I go on her page. As soon as I heard the song and she's like, starts dancing and all that, I was like, oh, now it's over.
Oh, man.
It's over. And then after she starts dancing, what really gave me like the goosebumps and all that,
mm-hmm.
So when she started singing the song and she's like, yo, this is my shit. This is my favorite part. So when she did that, I was like, oh, nah. Yeah, this is good.
Go up.
Yeah, this is going to go good. You know what I mean?
I can't even imagine how.
Should I left my house.
Let me tell you, I ain't sleep for a week after that.
Oh man,
I couldn't sleep because I felt like so much stuff was happening back to back.
Yeah,
I didn't want to miss anything.
Mm.
I was just like, I would try to sleep and I can't. I'm checking my phone, checking my DMs.
You took off that "Not Do Not Disturb."
I left that on. Hell no, I left that on.
Yeah, man, now that's crazy. So the Cardi B situation, so it opened up a lot of doors for you guys, huh?
Yeah, so it's like. Exactly. It's crazy because when that shit happened, of course, we was going through a lot of emotions and a lot of things was happening in our mentals. Like, when that happened, the first thing I did was leave my house. Like, I was getting so much anxiety and so much shit. I was like, yo, I gotta go. So I just grabbed my dog, put his leash on, I was gone, left my phone in the house and everything. Like,
yeah.
I just went for like a little walk, you know, breathe and shit, think. And like, after that, we came back home, spoke to Wally for more time. And then I told Wally, I was like, you know what, bro, it's late. I'm going to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't want to. Don't call me. Don't hit me up unless it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Like, do not call me nothing. And no lie, probably like a few minutes later, I go to sleep. After I go to sleep, probably like 10 minutes later, Wally calls me. And I'm like, I told him not to call me unless it's an emergency. Like, you know what I mean? And then when he calls me, I pick up like, yo, what's up? And he's like, bro. Like, it started. The blue checks is coming in, you know what I mean?
Blue checks is coming in.
The DMs are starting coming in. It's like, it's not something, it's something that we can't speak on too much right now because
that's
of certain situations, but it's just like, right after that, and I'm talking about probably like an hour after Cardi posted, or probably 2 hours after Cardi posted, just the biggest names in the world in the music game, Spanish, you know, started hitting us up and started like, yo, what's up with the song? Yo, what's this? Who owns this? Like, what's going on? What is this song? Where is it? You know, like, so it was like, after that, it was like everything changed.
Wow, that's crazy, man. So before we get into how it all changed, I want to talk about leading up to the Cardi thing. Like what were y'all doing to get this song popping? I mean, like, did y'all pay DJs to play? Did y'all perform every open mic in New York? Like, what was that grind like?
So once we made the song, it's like we were in the studio, we listening to it, and we looked at each other and we was like, this is it.
Mm.
This is it. This is the song right here. So I get back to New York because I live in New York. He was in Tampa. Mm-hmm. I get back to New York, and shout out to my guy Fabio. Mm-hmm. He's a promoter in New York in the clubs. So I had a song before this that we played it in the club. The club reacted good to it. I had everybody out that night, and it turned up that they started playing the song all the time. Mm-hmm. But they will play it like when I'm around, when they see one of like the bad guys around. They'll play it, or when they see one of us, they'll always play it. Mm-hmm. So I sent him the song. I said, "Yo, bro, I got the song of the summer right now." He was like, "All right, send it to me. Let me hear it." I sent it to him. As I sent it to him, I clicked play so I could listen to it at the same time. Yeah. So I'm listening to the song. I'm listening to the song. As soon as it's finished, I get a text message. So when I go to open his text, he called me right away. Mm. He was like, "Yo, bro, this is it. This is the song right here. I like this song. I'm going to fuck with it. I'm going to give it to all the DJs." I was like, "All right, cool." That same day, the song's not even out yet. I just came back from Tampa. The song was supposed to release like a week after or a week and some change. Mm. It's already getting played in like the big clubs uptown. Mm. So now that's happening. Then we had like social media stuff going on. We had tour contests. We had comedians was doing skits for the song.
Okay.
That was going on. What else was going on? I didn't perform it yet. We didn't perform it yet. Because he didn't come down until after like the Cardi B situation. Mm-hmm. So we didn't perform it. That's basically what it was. It kept getting played in all the clubs. But you could see the growth. Because it was getting played in the clubs he was in, the promoter, mm-hmm. but then it started getting played in clubs he wasn't in. Mm-hmm. So the DJ started picking up the songs.
Sharing it, okay.
And that's what Cardi B said. "Yo, what's this song? I keep hearing it all over Washington Heights and Dykeman." Mm-hmm. So that started happening. And then the Cardi B situation happened. After the Cardi B situation, what was crazy, like, that gave me, like, the damn. Like, it's like everything was kept, like, what the fuck? It's, like, crazy. We just, what we had there? I know we was driving into Dykeman. A car was coming, playing the song. Mm-hmm. The song got played on the radio that day. And then I go on my freaking Instagram, and there was people in like three different clubs, and they all played it like around the same time. So I got notifications from different clubs, the song being played. At the same time. And I was just like, damn.
Like, it's about to get real.
It was getting real. Ooh.
Yeah, facts. And to add to that, it's like he's saying, when we was doing the song, like, one of the things about this song is that the song is authentic. It's real. Mm-hmm. Nothing is fake. Even to down to, like, every single lyric in the song. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was some girls in the studio that day. And the song, my part, what I was talking, to her.
Yeah.
And I could literally see her through the booth. You know how you have the booth and then you got the window and you see the... So she's in there and I'm literally, like, looking at her eyes, like... And just, because I don't write. I don't like to write music. I feel like when you're writing, I like it to be as real as I could be. Mm-hmm. So I like it raw, and I like to start do it right there and then.
So wait, before you continue, so do you freestyle or do you just like recite and don't write?
So I don't freestyle a whole verse. Like, okay. That's not how we do it. Okay. I work like bar for bar, so it's like I'll hear the beat, then I start thinking, and I'll like something, and I'll lay it down, and then if I like it, I'll be like, I keep that, and then I'll be like, next.
Oh, so okay.
Going. And then I keep punching in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't like to like sit down and write a whole verse and then go in and write. Nah. Like, and I'm not gonna freestyle a whole verse neither.
Okay.
But it's like I'll bar to bar. I'll keep punching it in. So like I like this. All right, let's next. And then keep punching it in.
Like, that's interesting because some people say they don't write, then you automatically assume, then you freestyle the whole album. And no, like, nah. Yeah. So everybody got their own formula or structure how they write. Okay, so continue. Yeah. So the song was about her.
And of course, let me just say this off the rap. Like, shout out to the producer who did the song.
Nitro. My guy.
Like, he.
Oh, I got you on that money, play. Don't worry.
Nitro bodied that shit. You know what I'm saying? And he did it from scratch right there and then. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like, I'll come, I got a beat. It was, yo, we going to the studio. Yo, let's do this. Mm. Yo, let's go for the sound. Let's make it epic. Let's make a movie. And he did that. He cooked that up probably like less than 30, maybe 45 minutes. Less than 45 minutes.
I think
minutes.
Less than that.
Yeah, he cooked that shit up right away. And
it's so, like, so you guys already had the vision on where you wanted to go with the sound.
Honestly,
right?
We didn't. No? We didn't. We have no idea of nothing.
Wow.
We just went in there like that. And it's like I said, it was authentic. Like, you know, in Florida, we drink a lot of aguardiente. Mm-hmm. So it was like mucho aguardiente. It was like a lot of aguardiente. And then it was just a vibe. I was really drunk always when it comes to making music.
Yeah.
And then, it's like I said, the shorty was there. And then I'm like talking to her. And it was just so real. And then as soon as Nitro, because I'm talking to her, right? But she can't hear it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because you know how it is? Like, producer, the producer can hear me. He got the headphones on. Yeah. The people that's in the studio, they mac and they talking. So she'll know what I'm talking about. When he's like, when I'm like, all right, now he's going to play it for everybody to hear it. I'm just looking, observing. As soon as that shit dropped, both the girls just got to start shaking their ass.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a drug. Like, it was like crazy. And then when I'm looking at them and I'm saying what I'm about to say and what I'm saying, what I'm rapping, I just see their face like, oh, this guy's crazy. Like, this guy's crazy. You know what I'm saying? It was, I was like, yeah.
It's gonna be
special, you know? Like, it's gonna be real. Because it's like a numbers game. If one person feels like that, a lot of people gonna feel like that. And it's like, it's real. The realer it is, the more people gonna feel it.
Okay. That's what's up. So now talk to me about when y'all started getting calls from the labels. Because, you know, I want up-and-coming artists to know that, you know, it's always good to weigh your options. Never just take the first deal they give you because you're thirsty to get a deal. You've been working all this time to get a deal. And then you finally get an offer. Don't take the first one. So how did you guys weigh your options to where y'all landed with this decision?
So the label started reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, and it, while the labels are reaching out, shit is still happening. Like, Cardi B did the first video, but she didn't do the twerking video yet. Mm. So we sat down with the label. We spoke to them. All right, cool. We sat with the label. They talking. They had a vision for us. They pitched us their vision. Mm-hmm. Then the Cardi B shit happened. I'm like, all right, now they got an ass sign now because now something else just happened.
Yeah.
So then we had another meeting. Then the blue check hit us up. And then another label reached out. So it was like, all right, hold on. Now somebody else want to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then another label hit us out. And then it was just like stuff like that. So whoever was talking to us better and was like telling us the vision they had, like the vision they had and a vision we had and which one was similar, that's what I think we stuck with. And like when we spoke to the label we're dealing with now, it was like more real. Like they wasn't talking to us in a language we couldn't understand.
What do you mean by that?
Like I felt like I was talking to somebody I already know.
So you felt comfortable?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, like to quantify that a little bit, it's more like when we was with the labels, they were talking to us like very like, well, we like this song, we want to do this song. So the problem that we had with that was, okay, so what about after the song? And if you want this song, then what are you going to give us in return for the song? Like, what are you going to do for us? And then that's when the
negotiations happened.
The negotiations wasn't really working out. And it was like, the way that we just felt, it was like, it's like he said, similar to what he said, where it's like, we're in there and they're looking at us and they're talking to us, but it's like, you don't know me, I don't know you. And it's like, you're talking to me in a way that I'm not used to, you know what I'm saying? Telling me that I have to do things that I'm not used to, or offering me things that we don't, that's not going to do anything for us. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, we're like, it doesn't really make sense where Rancho Mille, the label that we ended up dealing with, Rancho Mille, since the first day that we got this, since the first day we sat down and started speaking to him, it's like he said, it was like, we come from the same place. We have the same background. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might come from different sides of the world, but we come from the same story.
It's the same exact story.
Yeah, so we come from the bottom. And it's like, I feel like that's why we was able to relate to them so much, where with these other labels, there's nothing that we could really relate to but music. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, we didn't even have the same vision for that.
Right.
So it was like, that wasn't going to work out. Where Rancho Mille, they gave us like, they made us feel like we was family.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like Latino, and we Latino at the same time. So it's like, we didn't want a Latino. It's like, we're at home. It's like, we're at home. You know what I mean? It's like, even though we're from different sides of the world, because, for example, I'm Dominican, and the label is really known for regional Mexican music.
And was that a concern of yours, like, going in?
Not
like
really.
Like, with the type of music they were promoting versus what you had, and how was it going to?
No, because, well, going into it, like, when we got hit up, and we flew to L.A., and we had the conversation going into it, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't even know what they wanted from us or what it was. We didn't know they just wanted to meet us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't know too much. So as soon as we started talking to him, and he gave us his vision, and he was like, yo, this is what I want. This is what I'm doing right now. And this is what I'm capable of doing in here. But this is what I want to do. And this is what we could do together. You know what I mean? And when he gave us that and broke us down, all the details of the things and the plans that he has, it's like, it doesn't matter.
It's a no-brainer.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're gonna take over the world. And we were talking to Jimmy Humilde. He's the guy that called us out and sat us down over here, and we spoke to him, and he's the person we're dealing with for the label deal and stuff. He he's already like doing things that's never been done before in his world.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? In the Mexican regional world, he's doing things that's never been done in that world. He's already taken it to a level that's never been taken before.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like him doing this now where it's going to be, this has never been done before neither. I feel like he's comfortable with it because he's already used to doing new things.
Going outside the box.
Exactly. And then going outside the box with it and it going good.
Yeah, succeeded.
Successfully. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, he's doing all these different things and it's like it's, things are falling and things are not working. And no, it's like everything that is happening is successful. It's big. Mm-hmm. It's epic. So it's like, and then before that, we didn't have no music video or nothing like that. We start right away. We shot the video, epic video. The video was epic. Like everything we do and everything that's happening right now is epic. There's nothing small or nothing like, you know what I'm saying? Like everything is huge. Everything is big. Everything is going to be legendary. In the video came out crazy. It was our first time experiencing something like that. Like professional video with a budget. You know what I'm saying? That it's not like just us from the hood, like doing a regular video. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like. So, yeah, definitely. So he made us feel comfortable. I feel like he's the person that made us feel like, and if we would have had any doubt, which at the time we didn't have the doubt because we didn't know what we was going into, but if we would have had a doubt, he took away that doubt with giving us his vision because we had the same vision.
Now, is this a single project you guys got, like the deal you got with them, or is it like for an album, is it for like four singles? Like, can you talk about that?
Well, it's still a negotiation, but it's not a singles deal.
Oh, okay.
It's not a singles deal. We will be, we're at the end of all the negotiations, we will be Rancho Humilde artists.
Okay.
It's not like just for the one song.
Oh, okay. Oh, so there's a plan. That's what I was worried about. I was like, well, are you just signing for a single? You're just going to push the hell out of that single? And then I'm like, well, what happens after that? You know, so.
Yeah, no.
So I was like, you got to be doing
that's more. That's what the other league, that's similar to what the other labels was trying to do.
Just like a single deal.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we didn't want.
Yeah, so y'all wanted that home base. So where y'all got the second, third, fourth, fifth single. Exactly. It's a whole plan in motion for it.
Exactly.
That's what's up. Okay. Well, good shit. So, okay. Yeah, just did a show last night, right? Yeah, just did a show
two days ago.
And then was it nerve wracking? You know, first time going in front of the Rancho Miles following, you know, and performing a song that was outside of what they're used to hearing.
Nah, cause there was an artist already performing.
Mm-hmm.
And he does like reggaeton, so it was his performance. He was just like, yo, pull up. Performed too. It was like, all right, fuck it.
Bad.
So we grabbed the mic and the music came on and the way they reacted to it was like, that was unexpected. I was like, all right, they really fucking with it. They danced into it. They're like, oh. So it was like, it was really good.
That's
it was really good. And then after we was done, people were coming up to us like, yo, that's nice. That's dope. What's your name? So that they liked it for sure.
Shout out OV. He's also part of the home team. Rancho Humilde.
OV.
Now that's what's up, man. And it's cool that, you know, artists on the same camp, you know, called you up out of nowhere. Like, he got a show. He ain't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? So he a real one. He showed you love. Like, yo, come through, pull up. You're going to get on stage too. You know, and it's rare that you see that type of, you know, solid teamwork from solid individuals. You know what I'm saying? And then it's hard even being in a crew, you know what I'm saying, with so many egos, you know. Have you guys ever experienced any, like, obstacles in being, like a group? You know, where any egos clashed or any obstacles that y'all overcame, obviously, because y'all sit together.
But it was, like, things that I feel like anybody would have went through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just more in the beginning because, you know, us as people, like, it's happened really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It happened, like, 1 second to another, boom, Cardi B did that, and it was, like, boom. And then so much things were happening where we wasn't really prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, and I've spoken to Wally about this before, but I feel like we skipped a lot of things that maybe we could see it as a good thing, but then at other times it's a bad thing because us skipping a lot of things, there was a lot of lessons that we didn't learn that we was, you know what I'm saying?
Like skipped. You learned,
yeah. So it was just a lot of decisions that we had to make in the beginning that we didn't come to an agreement with.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the only times that I feel like we would crash. And it wasn't really a hard crash. It was just
agree to disagree,
yeah. Basically. So that's really mostly like little decisions in the beginning, and that's about it, you know.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Well, shit, man. I mean, like, I'm excited to see you guys' like progression with this, man, because it's like I know you, you know what I'm saying? I just met you, but you know, I know you for a minute, and it's like damn, I feel like it's my team win. I mean, it is my team winning, but it's just like, yo, that's what's bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so awesome.
It's just the
man.
Beginning, it's just literally the beginning. It's like what Wally said, the song. For the people that's been there since the beginning of the beginning, the before the beginning, the people that's been there, to them, the song is not new. But to the world, the video just dropped December. So the video don't, and it's over a million views already. It doesn't even have like too much time out. So it's really just the beginning. We just starting to do everything.
Right.
We bought the label with the vision they have. This song is going to be like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide. It's going to be everywhere you could, any corner in the world should be there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be huge. And it's just, we're going to, we have a lot of things of different visions of different other stuff too, because that's the good thing. We're already working on the next thing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're working on Wadi got music already that he's ready to put more out. I have more music to put out. So we just really waiting for the final contract, you know what I'm saying? The final thing, the final negotiation to finish. So then we could really start doing things. Right now, we're taking it easy.
Mm.
Right now, we're just learning, observing and learning and seeing what people like, what people don't like, seeing how people feel, you know what I'm saying? And things like that. And when it's ready to, when we really start, they're going to know we started.
That's,
you know what I'm
up.
Saying? Like, they're going to, people are going to really feel it. I said a lot of people feel like, yesterday I had a bunch of people hit me up and I was going through my DMs and I saw a DM and they're like, it's a kid, I don't know him, it's just a random kid. He's like, man, like, you won't, like, I'm so, like, I'm hype, I hear your music, I play it every day, And I'm like, good looking, man, we about to take it to the top. And he's like, take it to the, you already in the top. And I'm like, like, I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, cool, like, you know what I mean? But
appreciate
it's
the
still
support.
The beginning, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like a lot of people feel like, y'all already at the top. Y'all already, you know what I'm saying? What more high you want to go? But I feel like there ain't no roof. Like, you could go as, you could go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there ain't no top. I don't think there's no top. You could go on top of that shit. Like, So that's really what we're waiting for now, just to really start the groundwork and then the vision to start playing itself. You know what I mean? The movie to start.
Yeah. Okay, that's what's up. Shit. What advice can you give to an up-and-coming artist who wants to, especially now with this generation of music, like, that really wants to take music serious and, you know, what advice can you give them to prepare them for the grind that lies up ahead?
To invest in yourself, not only money and time, and keep practicing. Because, like, this is just the beginning, but it's not just my beginning. This is the beginning of what we dreamt for. But we've been doing this for a while, you know? And, like, studio time, mixing, mastering, get good quality stuff too. Don't just go to your boy's house and make a song and think you're gonna blow up. I doubt it works like that, you know? But just invest in yourself, time, effort, money, and be true to yourself.
Word. My advice would be get your paperwork right and get a lawyer. Get your paperwork right and get a lawyer, because at the end of the day, you don't want, how can I say this and not sound crazy? Like, at the end of the day, you don't want things to happen and you don't know it's happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
you don't
want to
get fucked, basically.
Yeah. And then, and if you are going to get fucked, you want to know you're going to get fucked.
Right.
And you want to be like, okay, I'm comfortable with that. You know what I mean? Pause.
Like, I was waiting for it. I'm like, how you going to finesse around that?
Like, you know, you pause that. Yeah. So it's like, you want to know. Like, you want to be like, all right. Because I also feel like, I always had this opinion, and it's my own opinion, to each his own. I always felt like a lot of people always talk about the independent world. And people be like, yo, stay independent. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't give up your masters. Don't do this. And it's like, that, it's like, you can't give everybody, you can't give advice to everybody on your situation. Because your situation is not everybody's situation.
Right.
If there's people out there that are super talented as fuck, but they just might not have the funds, or they might not have the connections, or they might not know how to put up a strategy. They just know how to do dope-ass music. These people, they need help. You know what I'm saying? They need help, and they need people like labels, machines behind them to be like, okay, you should take this route, and we're going to help you take this route. And maybe they could give you a little advance, or maybe they can't, but they're going to put you in the right place, in the right situations. So it's like, I feel like people always talk about, oh, people want to buy their masters. Everybody want to buy their masters back. Okay, but you're spending a lot of money just to buy your masters back. How did you make that money? You made that money because you gave away your masters. So it's like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, you need to give away your masters to become that icon, to become the icon level. I don't see anybody doing it without a machine behind them.
Yeah.
Like, the icon level, I don't really see it without a machine behind them.
I agree, you know.
So my advice would be that, get your paperwork right and get a lawyer, and make sure your lawyer is your lawyer. Like, make sure it's not that somebody put a lawyer on you or anything like that. Make sure it's your lawyer.
Yeah, definitely. Don't use the lawyer from the label. It's a conflict of interest. Like, I don't care what nobody tells you. All right, man. Well, shit, man. I'm glad you guys came on the show today. Thank you for coming through, my brother. I appreciate you. Pleasure meeting you, my brother. And I wish you guys much success. Let the people know where they can follow you, where they can download the record, where the next show is going to be, and all of the good stuff.
Go first. I saw you getting ready.
Bad Guy Wally on IG. I go by Wally, aka your favorite bad guy. And the song's everywhere: YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Deuces. To search Bad Guy Wally, Bad Guy Chopper up, you're gonna find it.
Bad Guy Chopper on IG. And like he said, the name of the song is Deuces. Yeah, man, ustedes no dan mucha nota y no me hagan quillar porque yo me quillo, no me de cotorra, no tengo coro con nadie. No me llamen, si me llaman, se lo voy a coger igual y si hello y se lo tranco y nunca vamos a hablar.
Así mismo, ya tú sabes. Oh, man, Johnny Vegas is live in the building. Haters Catching Feelings, Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. Make sure you tune in to all the new episodes coming up. Subscribe to the channel. Follow these guys. Download the record. Support the movement. Shout out to my boy Nitro. I got you on that beat.
Don't worry. ABS Studios, where it all when the song all started, ABS Studio, shout out Nitro, shout out my boy PK.
Word. Right. Shout out my guy Chris Streets, man, for linking us up, man.
Chris Streets, man. That's my motherfucking brother.
Yeah, we go back like 15 years, man.
I already know, man. Word. And the next time is going to be in Spanish, so we could talk spicy. Porque a mí me gusta hablar pile pile miela, eh. A mí me gusta hablar pile miela, eh. Yo me quedo y vaina, digo pile vaina rarísima.
Don't worry, I'm going to put the closed caption and have the bouncing ball every time he talks.
I always wanted to see me do that shit, so I'm going to wait for that now. And it better still be bouncing right now when we talk.
Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching, man.
Bag out.
Holla.